Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey, where the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, 1 Timothy 1:5. Last month, the Democratic candidates for president held a CNN town hall about climate change, which exposed their radical beliefs and their policies regarding the apocalypse of global warming. Well, this month, the candidates did it again. They held another town hall exposing their ideology and LGBTQ town hall, where all the candidates offered their celebration and support of the LGBTQ agenda. That is to create a government task force to find and root out any opposition to LGBTQ, to remove tax-exempt status from any church that holds to a biblical view of marriage, that people should be allowed to choose whatever gender pronouns they prefer, that the government should allow for alternate identification on government ID besides male and female, and that gender should be a choice, and children should be allowed and encouraged to transition to whatever gender they prefer. The platform of the Democratic Party and the LGBTQ movement was laid out plainly for everyone to see. In 2019, we have the legalization of homosexual marriage, transgenderism, children are being told that gender is a choice. There is bathroom choice. These are moral policies which would have been unthinkable 25 years ago. Even Barack Obama, back in 2008, said they didn't support same-sex weddings and that he believed marriage is between a man and a woman. The homosexual movement's public campaign back in the 1990s and the early 2000s was that all they wanted was to be left alone, to have a libertarian government policy where they would give you the freedom to do what you want to do as long as you give them the freedom to do what they wanted to do. But at that time, pro-traditional marriage activists were saying, no, their agenda is far more invasive. They want legalized homosexual marriage. They want gender norms erased from society, starting in the schools. So we shouldn't be surprised by where we are in 2019. If you listen to the gay community's insider conversation back in the 1990s, they were telling us what they were really going to do. So now in 2019, they are telling us what they plan to accomplish over the next decade. Are we listening? Or do we naively think it could never happen here in America? And this agenda is not coming from secret recordings, from closed meetings. This is coming from the mainstream Democrat candidates who are thoroughly behind this sodomite agenda. And they exposed it all at this LGBTQ town hall. And in the providence of God, this is for us to see, to learn from, to prepare for. Now, this town hall was sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign, which is a homosexual public policy activist group. And these Democratic candidates were tripping over themselves, pandering to all the policies and the sentiments of the LGBT community. But in so doing, they exposed the agenda of the Democrats on the left. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, Christians are told not to participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Well, in this case, we didn't even have to expose the plans in their heart. We didn't even have to do any investigative journalism. They did it themselves. They are telling us what their plans are, so nobody can say that this is made up, that this is fear-mongering from right-wing fundamentalists. This is the agenda that is coming from their own mouths. Now, it was Beto O'Rourke who let the cat out of the bag by saying that he would take away tax-exempt status from all religious groups that do not support LGBTQ. Now, most insiders knew this is what the LGBTQ movement plans to do once in power, but O'Rourke actually said it in a mainstream political venue. All the negative response to Beto's policy proposal here has come from conservative media. Some left-wing news outlets have pointed out that Beto's remarks were not politically expedient, such as this article here in The Atlantic. Democrats are going to regret Beto's stance on conservative churches. Quote, the candidates seem not to realize that eliminating tax exemption for certain religious institutions would be a catastrophe. At Thursday night's nationally televised forum on LGBTQ rights, candidate Beto O'Rourke showed how far and how quickly the Democratic Party has moved. The former Texas congressman caused quite a stir when he said he would support revoking the tax-exempt status of religious institutions, colleges, churches, and charities if they oppose same-sex marriage. Unquote. But even though Beto's remarks were criticized by some, I have yet to see an interview or an article of any of these other Democrat candidates speaking against Beto's proposal. Now, maybe it's because if they oppose Beto's proposal, they would be criticized by the LGBTQ movement, by the real ideologues. So it looks like the media is covering for these Democrat candidates by not asking them what they think about the tax-exempt issue. You know, in this town hall, it was not as if each candidate was asked to comment on each question, on each issue. They were each given a hand-picked question that they could safely answer. Beto about removing tax-exempt status. Warren about supporting gender choice among children. Buttigieg about gay men giving blood. Amy Klobuchar about conversion therapy being made illegal. Or Julian Castro being asked about U.S. foreign aid being linked to LGBTQ rights. Each candidate was given a specific issue. They all affirmed the LGBT position. There was no argument or disagreement among all the Democratic candidates. This was not a debate. They all appeared to support the policy proposals put forth by those other candidates. Now, in a moment, I would like to address some of the specific statements made by the candidates. You know, they were outrageous, and they showed that these candidates are thoroughly indoctrinated in and supportive of the LGBTQ worldview. But first, let's look at this overall philosophy underpinning their policy proposals. Often we fault the fruit without really examining the fault of the root. First, this was not about social disapproval toward those who disagree with the homosexual transgender movement. This was about using the power of government to persecute those who disagree. Notice the difference. I mean, we could live in a country where moral questions and opinions are left up to individual decisions, where the government doesn't mandate the culture, the government simply gives everyone moral freedom, and the culture does what the culture wants to do without the influence of government. Or we could live in a nation where the government forces people to hold to certain moral positions. The latter is what these candidates were talking about. These candidates didn't simply say they support freedom for homosexual behavior. They all took the position that the government must use its coercive power to force LGBTQ acceptance. Now, there are a number of levels here. First, requiring tolerance for homosexual behavior. The next level would be requiring homosexual acceptance. I mean, you can tolerate something, but that doesn't mean you need to accept it. The third level is requiring homosexuality to be celebrated. The fourth level is anti-homosexual opinions are punished by the state. Well, all these candidates were speaking in terms of this fourth level. Not just tolerance of homosexual behavior, but government-sponsored enforcement of homosexual immorality. The LGBTQ movement never stopped at level one. They never planned to stop at level one. And this town hall was not about equality as much as it was about discriminating against religious people who personally do not accept or celebrate the homosexual agenda, the transgender agenda. You know, the left has become so emboldened that they're not only seeking tolerance, but now empowered, they want dominance. And this is Proverbs 28:28. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. This is Judges 19 and Genesis 19, where the Sodomites were not content with just living their lifestyle. They went on to beat down the doors of the righteous. And this is the nature of sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Not only do they do these things, they also demand approval. In the temptation of Christ, Satan did not just want autonomy from God. He wanted God to bow down and worship him. He would give up all of the kingdoms of this world if he could just force Jesus to accept and celebrate his rebellion. Now, a word needs to be said here about certain commentators and their belief in libertarianism. This is some biblical discernment I want you to learn. Last week, I heard quite a few conservative pundits say that this town hall went too far, that we conservatives were all on board with homosexual marriage. Hey, if that's what floats your boat, the government should give you that freedom. But now you want to force your beliefs upon us. But understand, that is where the libertarian position always leads. The right to practice sin will always lead to the dominance of immorality. If transgenderism is a right, then a transgender can dress however he wants and parade his transgenderism in public schools before children. And if the state prohibits this, it would be favoring Christian morality. And for the libertarian, we can't have that. We need some sort of neutral position, but that's impossible in a society because people are moral beings. And the government is not just an institution that protects your rights. It is an institution that establishes moralities and rights in a land. Now, 75 years ago, we would have to admit that the government persecuted homosexual behavior. If you're a homosexual or a transgender, you couldn't hold certain jobs. You couldn't parade your beliefs out in public. You were fined if you were caught cross-dressing or engaging in homosexual sex. But now the LGBTQ movement wants a world where the opposite prevails, where the Christian moral position is considered harmful and bigoted and socially unacceptable and illegal, where Christian morality must be stopped with the full force of law, just like homosexuality was stopped with the full force of law 75 years ago. So, the libertarian, some conservatives see this and say, oh, how wrong America was in the past for persecuting homosexuality. All along, we should have been a nation that just lets people live morally any way they choose. If you want to be a polygamist, go ahead. If you want to be a transgender, go ahead. Just as long as you don't hurt anyone. So now that we realize this, we're going to let the LGBTQ do their own thing. Let's just now all agree on personal freedom. But just don't persecute us the way we persecuted you. So that's the opinion of some conservative libertarians. But look at what has happened. The homosexual movement is now using the strong arm of government to stop the practice of Christian morality and Christian moral teaching. You see, the mistake these libertarians are making is in assuming that God calls the government to just build roads and to just promote human equality. When in fact, Romans chapter 13, the government is to be an avenger against all those who practice evil. Government is called of God not to enforce the sacraments of the church, but to enforce natural law, to stop pedophiles and polygamists and homosexuals and transgenderism. Now, the libertarian position that government is not to enforce God's moral law by default ends up supporting and promoting the opposite worldview. If you don't have the positive, you get the negative. The absence of God is godlessness. There's no middle ground. And every nation and every person must decide what is truth. In Western nations, having a heritage of Christian culture, have traditionally supported the Christian moral worldview. But the apostasy in these last days involves the reversing of all this. Now, why is this? Well, man's sinful depravity, man's natural rebellion against the law of God. But in ethical thought, the rationale for this change has been a change in the basis for ethics. The foundation for what is right and wrong has been moved. Society has moved off of the foundation of God's law onto the foundation of human autonomy, human freedom. What is right is now whatever furthers human freedom. That's the standard now for right and wrong. And that's why there is this double standard, where LGBTQ can discriminate and be bigoted toward the Christian worldview, but the Christian position cannot be bigoted and discriminate against the LGBTQ worldview. Because it is assumed that the LGBTQ position is right. I mean, unless there was this assumption of rightness and moral superiority, the left could never support their proposals. I mean, they would never be able to justify taking tax-exempt status away from groups that hold to biblical marriage. They would never be able to justify outlawing therapy to help homosexuals leave homosexuality. So where does that assumption come from? It comes from changing the basis for right and wrong. And this was seen in this LGBTQ town hall. For example, Beto O'Rourke said the following: "There can be no reward, no benefit, no tax break for anyone or any institution or any organization in America that denies the full human rights and the full civil rights of every single one of us. And so as president, we're going to make that a priority, and we're going to stop those who are infringing upon the human rights of our fellow Americans." Did you catch that? Moral ethics are now based on human rights and civil rights. Rights to what? Right to personal moral autonomy. And if you have a culture that bases right and wrong on your rights rather than the moral law of God, the law of nature and nature's God, then what you get is Sodom and Gomorrah. You probably heard about the recent court case in the UK. A British doctor who is working at the Department of Works and Pension was fired for saying that in a hypothetical scenario, he would never call a 6-foot bearded man a madam. You know, he never even offended anyone by not using their preferred pronouns. He was fired for suggesting the possibility. So the case was brought before the Birmingham Employment Tribunal, which said the doctor's biblical beliefs have no place in British society. Quote, "A belief in Genesis 1:27, lack of a belief in transgenderism, and conscientious objection to transgenderism, in our judgment, are incompatible with human dignity and conflict with the fundamental rights of others." So, there's the new basis for ethics: human dignity. What is right is what affirms or dignifies you the most, rather than what the Western world was built on, that what is right is based upon the higher laws of nature and nature's God, regardless of your dignity. In fact, judging sin always thwarts the dignity of the criminal. But this British tribunal was actually espousing a satanic worldview. The worldview of the Antichrist and the Apocalypse, that God's values hurt us, that they're thwarting our human dignity. It's the old lie of the devil in Genesis chapter 3. So we got two positions in this world. Do that which dignifies yourself the most, or do that which dignifies God. Two worldviews, two kingdoms in opposition. And Christians need to understand and explain and expose this satanic foundation for right and wrong. Don't just argue the policies. Get to the root of the issue. Because that is where the soul is faced with the choice to be for God or against God. So what is your basis for right and wrong? Ask yourself that question. Is it the word of God, or is it your own personal autonomy? Now, I was planning to cover many of the statements made by the Democratic candidates, which further illustrates the LGBTQ worldview and further illustrates how much the Democratic Party has embraced this new godless foundation for morals. So all of those particular responses, I'm going to try to work into my YouTube version of this program. But let me conclude here with a word of encouragement for God's people. A way to view this biblically. Please don't look at this town hall, this LGBTQ agenda, as being a victory for the world or for Satan. This is not their victory. This is their judgment. Romans chapter 1. When God gives a people over to the lust of their hearts, over to futile speculations, over to unnatural, degrading passions, this is the judgment of God. This doesn't just call for the judgment of God. This is the judgment of God. This is not their victory. This is their defeat. It's as if they were telling everyone to find the nearest precipice and jump off it. I mean, do we actually believe what the Word of God says in Galatians chapter 6? Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Now, if we truly believe the Word of God, then we'd understand that these politicians were engaging in self-immolation. If we're fearful or worried, I don't think we really believe the Word of God. Do we really think that those who sow the flesh will reap blessing and success? Proverbs 22:8, he who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. Do we believe that? I mean, if we do, our reaction will not be fear, but confidence. And that confidence is a witness and a warning to these people. As Paul writes in Philippians 1:28, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. And as I mentioned, the YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. And again, thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us above all to be able to clearly explain to this world what is and what is not the basis for right and wrong, so that people would not be deceived, so they would see clearly the choice that must be made, and may many, by your Spirit, confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.